Thank you. And hello, everybody. God bless you all. The last time I had the privilege to share the devotional with this group was a little over a month ago. And I shared a devotional talking about how Paul prayed for Christians and how Paul prayed for the churches that he was working with. Now, the devotional I'm going to share today is sort of the flip side of the same coin. I call this the prayer requests of Paul. Here's how Paul asked the churches in turn to pray for him. And there's just two passages I want to read and look at briefly and then make a few applications or observations about. The first one is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. And the second one is Colossians chapter 4, 2 through 4. And I have, I'm just going to go right into reading it now. I know these are very familiar passages to most Christians and certainly to the people of this group. So Ephesians chapter 6, right on the tail end of the discussion about the whole armor of God, Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And here's the part especially, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So a couple observations here before I go to Colossians. So there's basically two specific things in there that Paul asks the Christians who he's writing to pray for him. And the first is utterance, that utterance may be given to him. And the word utterance is actually logos in Greek. It's the same word from the prologue in the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the word, logos, and the word was with God. The word was God. So literally what he's asking for there is pray for me that God will give me the words to say, right? And then the second thing in there is that he twice asks that they pray for boldness for him. He wants to open his mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, and that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And it's that little phrase on the end that really gives it its meaning, as I ought to speak. He wants them to pray that God would give him the words to say and that God would give him boldness to say them. And the idea of boldness, parousia, is the idea of just very bluntly, very frankly, very directly, even stepping on toes if necessary, you might say, sharing the words of the gospel with people. I heard it said that boldness is saying what needs to be said, even when it's risky to do so. So he asks them to pray for utterance for him and boldness for him. Then over in Colossians chapter 4, in verse 2, it says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. And then this part, meanwhile, praying also for us. And he says us there because in the prologue of Colossians, he included Timothy with him, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So again, two specific requests there. And one was for this open door, open to us a door for the word. And that's easy enough to understand. He's asking for gospel opportunities, but the choice of words is really profound, I think. Paul is in prison, and he's not in prison for any crime that he committed. And if you got a prayer request from somebody in prison who is innocent, the prayer request would probably be, pray that the door would be open so I can get out. But Paul doesn't pray for an open door for himself. He prays for an open door for the word. I was just listening to Elsie's prayer request before I started speaking and how she's praying for her mother. And it's just all about the gospel, all about the gospel. And I'm sure we'll be praying about that in a moment. But that's what Paul was about. He wanted an open door, not for himself, but for the word. And then to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. He mentioned his chains in both of these passages, that I may make it manifest. spanero'o is the word that gets translated manifest. It means to make it plain, to make it obvious, to speak it clearly, with clarity. Right? So the four things, if you take these two verses, these two passages, that Paul asks the Christians to pray for him, are utterance, boldness, an open door for the word, and clarity or manifest, that it would be spoken that way. Now, with those facts, I guess, established, let me just make three applications or observations for us. And the third one especially, I think, will take us right into our prayer time. Number one, Paul absolutely depended on God for the very words that he spoke, how he spoke them, the clarity of them, and the opportunity for them, right? The utterance, the boldness, the manifest, and the open door. He absolutely depended on God, as evidenced by the fact that Paul, you know, Paul, the scripture, his own testimony of himself is that he was zealous beyond all of his contemporaries, you know, when he was in Judaism, and a very gifted man, clearly, and yet none of that mattered. He needed people to pray for him. He utterly depended, absolutely depended on God. So he's absolutely dependent on God. Number two, Paul was absolutely committed to the work Christ had called him to, and the prayer requests reflected that. What's he basically asking for? What Rick and others here like to refer to as gospel advance. That's, he's in prison, but that's all he cares about is gospel advance. What didn't he ask for? Again, we talked about the, I can't resist saying this one more time. He asked for an open door, not for himself, but for the word. And this is a pattern in Paul's life. I can't resist sharing Acts 16. Previous to this imprisonment, there was a short imprisonment in Philippi, if you remember. Paul and Silas had been beaten, and they were singing hymns at midnight, famously, and were told in Acts 16:26 that there was a great earthquake suddenly, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the jailbreak, right? Not at all. It says the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he was on the hook for those prisoners. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." And what? I mean, so there's an earthquake. The foundations of the prison are shaken. All the doors miraculously open and everyone's chains are loosed and nobody leaves. Why? Because Paul is just absolutely committed to the work that Christ had called him to. And this prison keeper, Paul cares about his soul. And so nobody leaves. The guy comes in, falls down, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And of course, the famous answer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your house." Wow. I mean, so Paul absolutely depended on God. Number two, he was absolutely committed to the work. And then here's the third observation that I think is specifically relevant for us and what we're doing. Number three, Paul absolutely believed that the prayers of God's people were a means of their direct involvement in his work. We've heard it said here. I've heard it said many times before, and it's absolutely true that prayer is not a substitute for action. We're all called to be witnesses. We're given the Holy Spirit and we are called by Christ to be his witnesses. But I want to remind us all that prayer is action. It's not a substitute for action, but prayer is very serious action. I've heard it described here as the heavy lifting of evangelism, really. And Rick, in the beginning of this, mentioned that my daughter graduated from college. My daughter's name is Anna, and she is in part named for this person in the Bible that I want to read about. Anna, the prophetess, Luke chapter 2 tells us, was the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Anna's service to God for a long time was to fast and to pray, to fast and to pray, to fast and to pray. Warfare prayer, offensive prayer, in the game prayer, right? I love James 5:16, right? It doesn't just say a prayer of a righteous man avails much. It says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, right? So prayer is not a substitute for action, but prayer is action. So what do we see in Paul's prayer requests? He absolutely depended on God for the very words that he spoke, for the boldness, for the clarity, and for the open door for them. Number two, he was absolutely committed to the work that Christ had called him to. And number three, he absolutely believed that the prayers of God's people were a means of their direct involvement in his work. So what do we take from that? We need to pray for the Pauls. We need to pray for the pastors. We need to pray for the evangelists. We need to pray for each other. Because the work of the gospel is a work of power, and we're praying for revival. The infusion of power into the work that we're called to do. Paul believed that that was found. Paul, of all people, believed that that was found when God's people prayed for him. And we should learn from that example and be doers of it ourselves.